The Apostle Paul approaches the subject about the mystery of the gospel several times, and it's only strange that many times that word has gone past me and not realizing what is being said. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, it says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into the holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." Paul is not talking here to mere Jews, people who have been brought up, you might say, in a Jewish faith, and may have, in such a way, been acquainted with God, a saving God, a creating God, a sustaining God all of their lives. But instead, Paul is addressing a church of people now, a group of people, saved people, I might say, who grew up under the ideas of paganism. They did not have any religion, even when they did have a religion, that was anything compared to what God was offering. God himself was different than the gods of the pagans so much, and that the pagans themselves were not looking for salvation. They were just looking for something to worship. Usually in that something was self man-made and attained only to the things of their own flesh to appease them. A lot of the gods began just as a sake of making, if you will call it that, a way of life or money or something else for somebody to control them with. And things brought to this pagan god fulfilled the flesh of man. Not any spiritual thing about it. But Paul is going to talk about this mystery. This mystery in which there is a God who is concerned about life and death, who's concerned about righteousness and yet transgression, a God who is going to bring things to them in such a way that is going to be quite differently. Even today, as we are struggling throughout the world today with the things of Mohammed, even though it is supposedly based upon a God of old, kinship to that of Israel, if you would call it that, still their basic belief in salvation is so different than what the God that we believe in teaches. Their God is still going to give man, the male part of that group, these physical things. I don't know how many of the virgins and everything and all this kind of stuff that he's, and how much wealth they're supposed to get if they've been pleasing or all that. You know, I say this, and my wife's going to scold me afterwards, but she had a birthday the other day and got a little older. And I found out that she doesn't have her warranty has expired. That she has no resale value, and I certainly cannot afford payments on a new one. So as I say that to say this, these men, these young men of the religion of Muslim that think they're going to gain a lot by having all these women for themselves, I don't know what tree they have been taught at, if you would call it that. But you know, Paul was a genius with the mystery of God. He's going to expose to this world of Gentiles the mystery of the gospel. You know, sometimes mysteries can be hidden for years. And Paul talks about this in his New Testament times. He talks about the mystery that has been hidden, known only by God throughout the centuries, and only revealed at the time, of Paul's generation. It was the mystery that is we call the gospel. And Paul was a prisoner of that mystery. And you know, as I thought about that for a little bit, and I think, now why is he a prisoner of that mystery, of that gospel? Haven't you ever been caught up in a good mystery yourself? You've just been captivated by it. And Paul, I don't know if I have this further on in my lesson so much, or even if I'll get to that point. But as we look at Paul here, he is a man that is most zealous in the Jewish religion. He has been someone that was brought up by, the tribe of Benjamin. He's the Hebrew of Hebrews. All these things about Paul are so much involved in what he would think later on and call the mystery as it was brought about. Paul said he was a prisoner for the preaching of the revealed mystery. He's just so captivated about wanting to know about this and explain this mystery so that others wouldn't be confused. He said, for this reason, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. I mean, I'm just in chains in this mystery. Paul considered himself a prisoner of Christ. It was not because of the Romans or the Jews that Paul was in chains. It was for the furtherance of the gospel that he made himself cling to this mystery. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, just that it is right for me to think that in all of you, because I have you in my heart, and as much as both my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of that grace. He's saying here, we're in all of this together. We sometimes don't understand it. In Colossians, and by the way, Colossians is a book in which that was Paul wrote to these church here. Paul never ever saw them. I mean, he didn't go by and establish this congregation, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in all with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also with us that God should open to us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Again, we see how he is saying this is something that I am just really captive of, to teach this mystery and to speak it to people who, once they start looking at how what God would give them the gospel, why would he give it to them in the way that he did? I have another secondary lesson behind this. And I just wrote this up here in the last few months. But this secondary is talks about the Apostle Paul and the gospel, our gospel. There was a man that was right down the line, very, very religious. And yet immediately he began to make alterations, adjustments, changes in his life that began overnight. He made him so fast that he had people doubting him on both sides of the Jewish religion and on the Christian religion, if you would call it that. And he lost his friends that had been over here for so long. And only his new friends would be those who were Christians who could not at first trust him. Did not trust him, I will put it that way. He was trustworthy, but they still had their human doubts about it. But in all of this about the mystery of Paul being in bonds for the gospel, he was not ashamed, and he encouraged others not to be ashamed of him as he went through the process of revealing this mystery. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or me his prisoner, but share with me in the long suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Again in Timothy in verse 9 it says, "For which I suffer as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained." Paul said, "I have come here." Of course, this is when he's writing Timothy, where he's now in bonds. But he said, "I am considered an evildoer for just teaching the mystery of Christ, salvation. I've not done anything to harm anyone anymore like I did in the Jewish religion. I have brought gladness and happiness, salvation, whatever you other words you want to put with it, to here, and yet there's people who are wanting to chain me up for it and call me a blasphemer and make me call me a liar and all of these different things." So this declaration that Paul shows that the church is the means by which he can demonstrate God's wisdom, which is a mystery to those who are being lost, which is a mystery to those who do not want to be saved. It is a church, in the church, that forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus comes. And this is a mystery to the Gentiles. They don't understand this thing about there being sin and against God Almighty. But we see in Acts chapter 17, down about verse 30 and 31, he says, "I'm telling you about someone here who has, God has now commanded everyone to repent, that they might have salvation, that they might be repentant of their ignorance, so that they and change." In Acts 20 and 28, Paul talks to the Ephesian elders, men who were Gentiles at one time, I will assume. But now they are understanding the mystery of God. He says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among the Holy, which the Holy Spirit has made you partake, overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now, why would a God want to send his son to purchase the people? All the pagan gods have been saying, "You go ahead and sacrifice your children to me. Sacrifice your goods to me. Sacrifice all of these things to me." That's what the pagan gods were saying. But here is a God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything contained within, who gives man his life and his breath and everything that's in that. Here is someone saying, "I am giving up my son for you." This is quite a different thing. He says to those Ephesian elders, he says, "To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Not their blood, not their children's blood, not their sacrifice, nor their children's sacrifice, but God's own sacrifice that he made for us. That is a mystery, that God would choose this method to save mankind. It is a mystery that God would choose the church to add the saved to, that there would be an assembly of people. And the beauty of God's wisdom is seen in the relationship between Christ and his church. There is not this separation of society or social status between those who would be the gods, and those who would be the worshipers, but now it is a bonding of something that brings them closer together. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places." What's he saying there? Well, it goes on down to say that there's going to be salvation. Included in that salvation is going to be the adoption of sons, that we are going to be a brother with the Son of God, yet he is also going to be our Savior. All of these things that are just being brought together is a complete mystery sometimes, and just mystifies the thoughts of man when he really puts it into it. As some of you have, I know I have, I've served in the military. In the military, we were programmed, if you would call it that, to be soldiers for freedom, for the declaration of freedom to different people. And as we went through that, we would often not really think about the idea of dying for someone, but we were prepared to. I do not think my mother or my dad really wanted to see me die in Vietnam. They would not have said, "Oh, thank goodness he gave his life for those people over there. I am so glad he did." But yet God, the mystery of God, shows him giving his son and being glad to do it. That is different from the thinking of man. So both Jew and Gentile are brought together as one in one thought by him giving of his body to the point of death, to all the humiliation and everything else that he took. You know, even my parents wouldn't want me to be bullied. That's what they call it today whenever kids pick on each other. And if you were a little scrapper like me, you didn't need anybody calling it bullying. You just went on ahead and took care of the situation. You hurt them bad enough that they didn't want to bother you again, and then therefore it was over with, instead of whining about some of the things that kids and parents whine about today. Excuse me for saying that. I'm of the old school. Christ is the head of the church, and yet he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, between Jew and Greek, between God and the lost, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, the Jew and the Greek, the Gentile, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity that was between them. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of this with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. Well, I'm going to end this right now, the lesson, but I have found that in my study regarding the mystery, it is strange, even for me, to review my life to the fact that there's been times, and probably will be in the future, when I haven't understood the mystery even as great as the Apostle Paul understood it. He is seeing here the possibilities that no man can undertake and what God can do, has planned to do for us. Before the foundations of the earth, this mystery was beginning, was developed and planned, and everything was made right for it to happen. And even as we go through life now, it is wonderful that God thinks so much different than what we do, so much better than what we do. I suppose I am speaking to those today who are champions somewhat of the mystery of God and understand it and have been obedient to it. But if in any way that the call of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, needs to apply to you, I beg you, don't wait till it's too late. Don't let it not go unsolved in your life. And our brother Gary now will lead us in a song of encouragement as we stand and sing.
That was number 78.